The Daily Buzz is made possible with support from Studio Movie Grill, opening hearts and minds one story at a time. A trip to SMG is unlike any other entertainment experience. Whether you come early or stay late, we'll set the mood for a great night to socialize and connect with an immersive movie-going experience. And independent filmmakers, you can four-wall your film or find a home at the many film festivals they host in their 30 locations across the country. And Onward, a search-driven brand experience agency. In today's heads-down society, people crave relevance, emotional connection, and honest information. Our pioneering search-first process delivers the credible insights for informed marketing communications. You're listening to The Daily Buzz on KCPW.org, MovieCityNews.com, and You Offend Me, You Offend My Family. This is Day 8. I'm John Wildman, and we are on location in Park City, Utah at the 2018 Sundance Film Festival. We're coming to you from Slamdance headquarters on historic Main Street, interviewing some of this year's most important and exciting voices in the independent film world. Joining me this morning are my co-hosts Minji Chang and Lancia Wan, and today we'll be talking about the Sundance drama Nancy with director Christina Cho, the Slamdance documentary Roll With Me with that film's subject Gabriel Cordell, director Lisa France, and producer Georgia Fox, the documentary short Zion with writer-director Floyd Russ and producer Carter Collins, as well as a special segment with Asian-American filmmakers Bing Liu, who directed the skateboarding documentary Minding the Gap, and Cecilia Sitze, director of the short-form essay Where Are You From? Welcome back to The Daily Buzz. This is John Wildman, and I'm joined by our producer, Lancia Wan, for this segment, which is another one of our roundtable segments, and we're going to be talking about the subject is Asian versus Asian American. But there's a lot that goes into this, and we're joined by the director of Where Are You From, Cecilia Sitze, and Bing Liu, who is the director of Minding the Gap. Welcome.
Thank you.
Hi, glad to be here.
Okay. Lanza, you start us off on this one.
Okay, so, I mean, you guys from almost two very separate backgrounds, yet we're sitting here in an Asian-American panel. Still, you have a short film at Slamdance here, Where Are You From? And Bing, you have kind of almost two films, but not really. Like, one's an episodic because it's one of the, part of the indie episodic of the Sundance Film Festival, as well as Minding the Gap, which is at Sundance. If you guys can maybe kind of go through... How did you guys get here today? Because I'm kind of curious. Like, it's got to be super different stories. Bing, I'll start with you.
You mean?
To your careers and, like,
oh, okay.
How did you get to Sundance?
I took an,
like,
Uber here. So. I went to school to become an English teacher, so I was really interested in literature. But when I was growing up, I made skate videos, so
Cool.
Got my technical chops with, you know, filming and editing a little bit there. And then I was a grip and electrician and then a camera assistant in the union for a number of years. And then I just started shooting on the side, this film that eventually became Minding the Gap, and
awesome.
Somehow it made it into the festival.
Very cool.
Yeah. Very cool. Very cool. And Cecilia.
Yeah. I guess this film was my first, it's a personal project, but it was my first festival or Slamdance exposure. I've been always interested in photography and then gradually moving to the field of filmmaking. And I actually just graduated from college studying film, graduated from USC. And I also worked on set a lot. I was camera assistant and I was script too, and I wanted to be a DP, but also just realized my interest in documentary, so moving more towards documentary now.
Awesome.
Well, you know, when you talk about my wife is Japanese, and we talk about representation in the film community, it usually is focused on camera. You know, I'd never really see a lot of discussion, journalistic pieces or what have you, behind the camera, which makes some sense because, you know, what we see is what we're thinking about. But I would love for both of you to talk about, what encouragement you had to be filmmakers. You know, not particularly the specific films that you have here today, but just in general, because we've had those conversations about female filmmakers, who's encouraging them, who is helping them in the door. But I would love to hear from your perspective as Asian filmmakers.
I mean, it's certainly true that, you know, you get encouraged by seeing people like you doing what you want to do. I mean, as a male filmmaker, it's, you know, I certainly have don't have as many barriers as female filmmakers who don't have as many people to look up to. But when I was in university, I took some Asian American studies classes, and we looked at Justin Lin's early work and, you know, Greg Pak, and I was like, oh, okay, like there's Asian American specific filmmakers, and that was really encouraging to see.
There's been some stuff in the news lately that has been super discouraging. For example, with Hellboy, the casting of that, Edge Skrein actually was casted for a Japanese role. And when he found out, he politely sort of stepped down, and for what reasons, we may never know, but they recasted it. And I believe Daniel Dae Kim received the role. But also there was another, I want to say, Hawaiian film where they casted, I can't remember the actor's name, but it was a Scottish guy, for a Hawaiian, like a biopic almost. And it's, how do you guys feel about that? Because I mean, being Asian in Utah is sort of difficult, of course, as I'm always treated as the token minority almost. But to see people being cast that are Caucasian in Asian roles is feels like a step backwards.
Well, and I would expand even as far as crews. Like, would it be in your heads when you're filling out crews, you know, for films that you're working on, would you have in it, you know, to go, all right, I'm, you know, we're going to spice this, you know, with, you know, Asian Americans, because I want to have them in my crew. Cecilia, talk about that.
Yeah, sure. I guess maybe starting from crewing, a lot of the projects, student films were some indie projects I've worked on. It was sort of a natural crewing process, and we have a lot of Asian American friends and or female filmmakers or female DPs, and it wasn't like, okay, you are in the diversity group, so I have to cat or crew you, but it's more like, yeah, I really just admire your works, or I think you're competent, or your talent is really really fits what the film is going to be about. And,
right.
And I feel like, and yeah, in the history, there are so many, I guess the David Henry Hwang's play also kind of was one of those, talks about those problems too, but I feel like it would be great if just from the top, you could like create your own stories, whatever that story is. So you don't have to get others to cast you to make your own story.
Well, I think that leads into, you know, the kind of the divergence of the topic, which is your comfort level as far as, you know, who you're working with and who you want to work with, you know, versus specific you know, talent needs. And, you know, and being, I would love for you to, you know, to kind of, you know, approach that, you know, that idea of, again, you know, if you say the two of you are creating opportunities because you're hiring for your film projects, you know, would that be in your mind? Like going, you know, something, you know, I want to make sure a certain percentage, you know, or is it just happy, you know, coincidence that, you know, this amazing cinematographer also happens to be Asian American, or, you know, or this, you know, really great composer just happens to be Asian American.
I think in documentary, it's especially important to hire people who look like you in terms of, you know, in terms of bringing subjects in. You know, like you really want them to have a rapport. I mean, documentaries are really small, intimate crews, and you really want to make sure the people that you're hiring and the people that you're working with are going to work with your subjects. But I think optics are important too. I mean, when I saw Gook, I saw just a laundry list of Asian American names or Asian names, and I was like, "Wow! Like this! Like not only did they make a great film, but you know they did due diligence to make sure they hired people that were representative of the community." So that was inspiring to see.
Easily one of my favorite films last year.
Mm-hmm. I feel similar with Soul Searching, which was at festivals several years ago with, I believe it was Benson, right? Mm-hmm. And, I mean, he had a variety of people from all sorts of different backgrounds, but there was always a tie-in. For example, Crystal K, I believe she's part African-American and part Korean, but she actually speaks Japanese. I only know her because she's a huge Japanese singer, which is kind of ironic. But bringing all those different backgrounds to bring this sort of truly American melting pot sort of movie is kind of amazing and great to see, I think. But
fantastic. Yeah. Well, again, we've been discussing, you know, the so to speak, the, you know, the Asian versus Asian American issues on sets and hiring and all the issues that go along with that. My name is John Wildman. We've been here with Lanzia Wan, our producer, and Bing Liu, the director of Minding the Gap, and Cecilia Sitza, who directed Where Are You From? Great to have you here.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thanks so much.
Thank you for having us.
You're listening to The Daily Buzz. My name is John Wildman, and right now we're going to be discussing the film Roll With Me, which is a special screening here at Slam Dance. And we have with us three guests. We have Lisa France, who's the director of the film. We have Georgia Fox, who's a producer on the film. And we have the subject, Gabriel Cordell, who I'm really thrilled to have here. We always start the show by letting our filmmaker introduce our audience to the film in their words. So, Lisa?
Hi. Thanks for having us on, first of all.
Absolutely.
Really excited to be here at Slam Dance and in Park City. So our film is a documentary about Gabriel Cordell, who, you know, kind of had reached rock bottom, struggling with addiction, and decided he wanted to do something really extraordinary with his life. And we, you know, looked into it. Nobody had ever pushed a standard wheelchair across the United States, so he decided he wanted to do that. But to just make it a little more interesting, he thought, hey, let me bring my nephew, who's a recovering drug addict. He wasn't actually in recovery yet. He came on the trip no days sober, off of crystal meth and coke. He had been in heroin rehab, in gangs, had a pretty troubled past. And I said, sure, let's bring him. What could go wrong?
Exactly. You know, Gabriel, you know, the film starts off just, you know, introducing you as the dynamo in training, and, you know, and then, of course, you know, tragedy literally befalls you, and you've got to pick yourself up from that, which was, you know, we go through the struggles of that before we lead in, before we go into the actual, you know, journey which the film is about. So it's a lot. But it's one thing to have that be a lot and have you know, do all of this. It's another thing to do that with cameras trained on you. You know, I mean, and of course, those cameras weren't trained on you through everything throughout your life, but through the significant part. Can you talk about what, you know, how okay were you with that? I mean, we see you on camera, but you know, in your head, how okay were you with being the subject of the film?
You know, I knew that I had a story to tell, and I knew that my struggles in life could help people. And for me, that was most important. It wasn't really about me per se, and so I always felt that if I can help one person improve their life, even save a life, inspire them, motivate them in any way, then telling my story and being an open book was never a question. I'm very comfortable with who I am. Yes, I've made mistakes, bad ones in my life, but I've also done really great things. And I'm hoping that my story can just help someone. So cameras, after a while, they're not even there anymore. Right. You know, you just focused on the goal. And that's pretty much...
Okay. All right. Georgia, I want to bring you into this. Because oftentimes, you know, you start off, even when you have a singular subject, like we have in this film, sometimes how you guys find the film mm-hmm. will surprise you. And from your perspective, you know, as a producer working with Lisa, what were those surprises?
Well, just right out the gate, I mean, it's still a surprise every day and a happy one at that. I came into the movie quite late. I missed the whole adventure. I was sitting on the set of CSI. It was, you know, the series finale, this two-hour special we were doing. And Gabriel came on as a guest actor, did a great job. We had a scene together. And we were just talking, you know, in between setups. And he told me about this journey he'd taken. And I was blown away. And then he said, you know, actually, we filmed the whole thing. And we're hoping to, you know, we got 40 minutes together. And we're hoping to make a whole movie out of it. And I said, can I see the footage? I'm really interested. And this is amazing what you've done. And the movie's gone through some evolution, you know. It's now a 90-minute film. 40 minutes that I had, I mean, the first 2 minutes of the movie, that was it. I was in. I was so invested I was in a trance. And I said, what can I do? How can I help? So I got to come in, you know, sort of at the 11th hour and maybe help these guys finish telling the story. They would have figured it out anyway, but I'm just glad that I get to be a part of this now. I get to be here.
So, you know, Gabriel, usually we're just hoping to get a decent bagel from craft services, but
I got more than a bagel. I got more than a bagel.
Well, Lisa, let me go back to you on the same subject, because again, whenever I'm talking to documentary filmmakers, I love finding out when that eureka moment was, whether it happened during filming, whether it happened in the editing bay, whether stuff just fell in the studio. But
it's
when did that happen for you?
Or stuff just fell on the floor. That was my Skittle supply. No, I don't have any Skittles. I want some.
Endorsement.
We, I knew on the trip pretty much day 7, I think, was when I went. When we were, you know, when Christopher had his attack.
Right.
And I was like, holy crap, this is going to be something. And I started to see a lot of themes happening. I started to see that the guys on the trip, you know, we had Christian Link and Chris Yonke and, you know, Streeter and Kowis, all these guys, and they all sort of had these interesting similarities with their familial histories. And I said, this is interesting. And Gabe, we don't talk about this in the movie, but one of the things that Gabe shared with me while we were hours and hours and hours at the pace of sleep on the road together was that he wanted to be a father. And it was something really important to him. And he's a natural at it because he somehow managed to keep the team cohesive despite everybody's flaws, which were many. And I saw this theme of family growing and a theme of mentorship and a theme of community. And it wasn't just about this extraordinary and heroic and dangerous experience of pushing a wheelchair on the road. It was about coming together in a very divided world with a bunch of people that had no business being together, you know, Palestinian Catholic, we had a Jew, a guy with PTSD, we got the lesbian, we got the drug addicts. I mean, really pick a topic, not one punch thrown, unbelievable, right? And
welcome to America.
Yeah, exactly. Just as we said, like, it's just a standard American family. So I think that the film is something that anyone can understand. I think we all have, we fall in the film, we fell apart. We were a mess. And then we got back up and we did what we needed to do. There were very difficult shooting moments with Gabe. Sometimes I was literally shooting crying while I was holding a camera shaking. And it was very hard to shoot because I love him and he's my friend now. And so that's probably the hardest part of trying to remain objective and still find the story. And then when we got back, I had 4,000 hours of footage, about 10,000 photographs, and combing through that footage to find the story. And I called Gabe and I said, dude, we have a movie in here. Now I need an editor. So we got Jeff Buccioletto. He'll kill me. I mispronounced. He's the greatest editor and he's one of our producers and he's literally found the story with me. We found it together. And then Georgia actually gave one note that I kept resisted, and then I finally actually took a big note of hers and incorporated it, which it's made a big difference in the film. But it is a community effort, not just as filmmakers that we all are here, but to get us across, we needed the country. We needed the people. Every single person we met inspired us and helped us. And we're so generous and amazing. So,
well, I can only assume that this is just going to just rock everybody.
when they see this film. And again, we've been talking about the film Roll With Me, which is going to be having a special screening here at Slam Dance. All right, so Lisa France, director, Georgia Fox, producer, Gabriel Cordell, the subject of the film. It is Roll With Me. Thank you all for being here.
Thanks so much for having us.
Thank you.
It's a thrill. Thank
great.
You.
Thanks
so much.
Yeah. And we are back on The Daily Buzz. This is John Wildman, and right now we are going to talk about the film Zion, which is a documentary short at Sundance. And we don't often do segments on short films, so I'm sure our guests are thrilled to death that we actually are going to be able to talk in depth about their film, which I'm looking forward to. And our guests are Floyd Russ, who is the writer-director, and Carter Collins, who's a producer. And the film is a portrait of Zion Clark. He's a young wrestler who was born without legs, and he grew up in foster care, and it's a fascinating portrait. And guys, welcome to the show.
Good morning.
Absolutely. Now, doing short subject documentaries, I think, take a very particular talent because you do not have the luxury of a lot of screen time to tell your story. You really have to get to the point. And can you tell? Let's start off with that, Floyd. Talk about why it is a short subject versus a long form.
Yeah. I think, you know, the most important thing about all documentaries is that you kind of approach it in a way that you accept what the subject gives you. And obviously that's the inspiration of every story, whether it's this is a biopic and it's 10 minutes long. And we tell a long story in 10 minutes, and Zion is 19, but we wanted to start at birth. We want to talk about what is his background, what's his history, what are his struggles, because it's not just about his disability, and there's a lot more he had to go through. Because he was placed into foster care at birth, basically, and he was passed around through 8 different homes. He was abused, even. I mean, he was finally adopted at 16. And wrestling, for him, is more of a symbol of how he got through all of that, I would say, and how he was accepted his body. So, you know, the length of the film came a bit natural because we talked for 8 months, and then we decided to shoot something around a match, shoot these main characters in his life, which is his foster mother that adopted him at 16, and his coach. And, you know, I think our first edit was a bit longer. And our goal was never to make a feature. We wanted to kind of do a short that packs as much into it as possible. And I think we were able to make a 10-minute short that really takes you on this roller coaster ride. And to me, that stands out the most, perhaps, because I've had somebody come up to me at every screening go, you know, I didn't know it was a documentary until almost like minute 3 or 4. And I'm like, I don't know if that's a compliment or not, but it's interesting.
Well, you know, listen, if you hook people, then you hook them. Yeah. And Carter, how did you guys happen upon Zion?
Yeah, I mean, I had known Floyd for a number of years, and I think I talked to him probably 6 weeks into making contact with the coach. I mean, it's pretty obvious. It's an immediate, how do we get involved? How do I sign up? And I think from then on, it was just figuring out how do we get the amazing team together and just really make this happen. And I think, you know, first hearing about it, obviously the story is so amazing and had to be a part of that relative to Zion's life and his story and just putting that out into the world. I think also knowing Floyd is just such an intentional director. So in a short form category, kind of like knowing his vision is knowing exactly what he wants. And it's a pleasure to work with someone like that, I think, from a producing perspective.
Well, yeah, and I'm also fascinated. I'm always fascinated when someone does a documentary that is a profile of someone. And that is how welcome you were in that situation. Like, you know, how happy was he to be profiled or not?
Mm-hmm. Right.
I mean, we were very hesitant with that factor because we wanted to make sure that the doors would be open. But at the same time, we live in New York. He lives in Ohio. We're not going over there and, you know, checking everything out. This is a short doc, so let's be realistic. We don't have all the money in the world. So we just kind of talked for about 6 months, I think, on the phone, then video chat, then constant Instagram messaging, since this is an 18-year-old kid we're talking about. And then when we went there, we were kind of like, you know, screw it, let's see what happens. You know, and after a week of being just alone with them, everybody came, and it became a process of slowly entering their homes, going to the practices, hanging out with all the kids that he wrestles with. And, you know, I think parents actually have bigger walls to break down than kids. And Zion was actually pretty open-hearted pretty quickly. But his foster care mom was much more protective, just like a mother would be, you know. So that took a little longer, but you got to go in steps. And those 6 months of prep and phone calls, that's what that's all about, you know.
All right. And we don't have a lot of time, but I also wanted to do the follow-up, which is, you know, has he seen the film? What's he feel about it?
Yeah, he has seen the film. I think we showed it to him right before the premiere. We didn't just want to send him a link. We wanted to be with him. We kind of put it on, and Floyd filmed him. It was an amazing experience. I mean, he's clearly like he's a sort of a guarded human being in personality, but started to tear up and just said, you know, how much he loved the film, how much he was happy to be a part of it. And I think he really felt like we accurately captured his story, and he felt proud, I think, which is amazing.
To quote him, it was, "That was so sweet."
Yeah. The same approval.
Yeah, and he was here for the first two screenings. Yeah. He went back yesterday.
It's great to have him just be a part of it with us.
Oh, great. That's very cool to hear. Again, the film is Zion, played in the documentary short category at Sundance, and we've been talking with Floyd Russ, who's the writer-director, and Carter Collins, the producer. Guys, thank you for being on the show.
Thanks so much.
Thank you for having us.
You're listening to The Daily Buzz on kcpw.org, moviecitynews.com, and You Offend Me, You Offend My Family. I'm John Wildman, and right now we're going to talk about the film Nancy, which is in the dramatic competition at Sundance, and we have the director, Christina Chloe, here. Christina, nice to have you here.
Hi.
All right. Well, first off, let's start off right and let you introduce the film to people who have not had a chance to see it yet, in your words.
Okay. Nancy is a psychodrama about a woman who creates elaborate lies to get close to people emotionally. And after her mother dies, she sees a news report, this older couple played by J. Smith Cameron and Steve Buscemi, and they're talking about their long-lost daughter who went missing 30 years ago, and when they show the age progression photo, it looks uncannily just like Nancy. So basically the movie's this journey of her, you know, trying to go find out if she could be their daughter, and, you know, I think it's really a movie about the slippery nature of truth and love and intimacy.
What? I'm fascinated by this because one of the things I do is I'm a publicist, so therefore I'm often branding the people that I work with, and I'm helping them create the personas that they want and how they want to be perceived, and then I'm also the J.T. Leroy's of the world and things like that. I'm you know always interested by that, and I would love for you to talk a moment about you had a personal kind of interaction with someone, you know, that led to this. And I would love for you to talk about that inspiration.
Yeah, and actually I was very obsessed with the late J.T. Leroy story as well, among others. But yeah, I did, in college I had this writing professor who was really, like, amazing, and he really inspired, you know, everyone. We just all worshipped him, and he would just have these gems of, you know, he would tell us, like, write what breaks your heart, because what breaks your heart will mend your heart, in this Irish accent. You know what I mean? And we, you know, and to this day, I still write to that, you know, message. And, you know, after I graduated, basically found out that what he had told us was, a lie. He had told us that he was a ghostwriter for this very big Hollywood franchise movie. And, you know, he had lied to us and his family as well. And at first I was like, wow, that's really messed up. And then after a while I was like, you know, does it really matter? Because what I still got was really genuine and authentic, and I was still inspired. And even to this day, you know, many years later, and like, you know, that theme is really at the crux of Nancy. It's like, does it really matter if it's a lie, if the love between these two women is true? You know, it feels genuine.
Well, I think what's also great is that you touch on the nuance of it and the varying degrees, because, again, we all kind of do it in little micro ways. Not all of us have the ambition to do it on that level, but... You know, it's a whole thing of, you know, putting your best foot forward.
All of social media is training us, or I think they're brainwashing us to, like, you know, curate our identities and facades and emotions. Like, I'm, you know, no one's like happy all the time. No one's eating perfect food all the time, you know?
But they are on Facebook.
But they are, yeah. And what is that other than an avatar of your own self, you know, that's not, you know, real, quote unquote, you know? And it's funny because one of my actresses, my lead actress, Andrea Riseborough, you know, she did mention, you know, in one interview, you know, Nancy in a way could be seen as an avatar, you know, even though it's not necessarily commentary on the digital space.
I'm glad you brought up Andrea. You're kind of doing my job for me, because I really wanted you to talk about choosing her for a really, you know, tough role. You know, I mean, there are a lot of challenges to pull that off.
You know, she, if I don't know if you know her work, but she basically has done, she's played, you know, people like Margaret Thatcher to like IRA spy. She was in Birdman. She was, you know, she's known as like a chameleon that can just like disappear into a role. And I was like, what other perfect actor, you know, could play this woman who is essentially like, you know, performing her identity or, you know, morphing into a different person than Andrea Riseborough. On top of just being, I think, the best actor of her generation, like, I think, you know, it's no accident that she has four films at Sundance.
Right.
You know,
right.
She's really, and she really gets to like shine in this role. She's in every single frame, and her character, you know, dictates the narrative and drives the narrative. And I think that's rare for a female character.
And she's by no means on her own in this movie. Man, you've got an amazing cast.
Yeah, I got the dream team, for real.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I mean, I was like thinking about, you know, as a director, to be able to have, you know, those kind of actors at the service. But I was curious, how much of it was relief and how much of it may have been a little bit angst-worthy because you've got those right. kind of people.
Well, so we had Andrea Riseborough, we had Ann Dowd, we had J. Smith Cameron, who's amazing in this. John Leguizamo and Steve Buscemi.
Steve Buscemi.
Can't ask for a better cast, right? Like, right. I, as a director, was just like in heaven, you know? And I had done several shorts, but worked with a lot of non-professional actors, so it was like a huge leap just to work with these people. They're at the top of their game, and at first I was like really nervous about it because it's like,
well, yeah,
oh my god. And then when we started, I was like, oh my god, this is the best thing ever because they're so fucking good. They're working on such a high level, it makes my job easier, way easier. Like, I mean, you can't even, sometimes I would just watch monitor and just forget that, you know, I had a note or something because I was just engaged.
What's the old saying? Turn the camera and get out of the way?
Yeah.
There's a little bit of that.
Yeah, it really felt like that, you know, when you're working with that kind of actor, you're like, you don't really, it's, the directing is a lot in the casting.
You don't give yourself enough credit because there, again, the nuance, you know, the way this could have gone awry in so many different ways, but it does not. It is great. Again, the film is Nancy. It's in the dramatic competition at Sundance. We've been talking with Christina Cho, who's the director of the film. Christina, it's nice having you here.
Nice to meet you. Thank you.
And we're wrapping up Day 8 of the Daily Buzz on KCPW.org, Movie City News, and You Offend Me, You Offend My Family. This show is made possible with the support of KCPW and the Slamdance Film Festival. Our sponsors, Studio Movie Grill, which is opening hearts and minds one story at a time, and Onward, a search-driven brand experience agency. Additional support is provided by Movie City News, The Market in Park City, Ruby Snap, and City Cakes. Our producer is Lanzia Wan.